You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Amen. Well, welcome, Makers Church. You can go ahead and have a seat. My name is Shalise, and unlike June, who preached last week and made it very clear he is not a pastor at this church, I am a pastor at this church. So if you have any complaints, you can email Derek at makerschurch.org. We'd love to talk to you about them. Because after this, I'm out of here. I am going on a little road trip with my husband. It is Thanksgiving break. I work at a high school as an assistant principal, so that is my full-time co-vocational paycheck benefits job. And we have the whole week off, unlike my mom. Sorry, Mom. She only gets like 2 days off. It's really sad. But I have the whole week off. So Drew and I are packing up. We're gonna go on a little road trip. We're gonna drive out through Arizona, out to New Mexico. We're gonna see some national parks. We're actually gonna meet up with Mark and Lauren. If you guys forgot who they are, Mark is also one of the pastors here. He is on sabbatical. He is about halfway through his sabbatical, so he will be back in the beginning of January. We're really excited to have him back, but I'm really excited for this road trip because I feel like there are two spaces in my life where I tend to encounter God the most. Usually one is in nature, because it's just so magical, you know, and there's so much to learn. And the other is like with my people, you know, when you're with those people that you just sense like God's presence is here. And so I'm really excited to get both of those things during this vacation, to get a little bit of nature and a little bit of my people on this trip. And as I was thinking about this trip coming up and this week, you know, we are at the end of an entire year of walking through the Book of Common Prayer. I don't know if you guys like realized that it's been almost a year. We started with Advent last year, and now we're like 2 weeks away from the end of Common Prayer. And it's been really special just walking through this book together. And it's been really interesting speaking from this book, because what we decided as a speaking team was that we would just take whatever was from that week, and that's what we would speak from. And this week was the book of Revelation, and I was like, no, thank you. Like, I'm not opening that can of worms right before the holidays. Like, we already have enough trauma going into the holidays. We don't need to be arguing about did the angel have 800 eyes, or was that a metaphor? Like, so if you would like to go dive into Revelation, like, you do you, boo-boo. Have a great time. It's in Common Prayer for this week. But I was drawn more to, like, the nature part of this section of Common Prayer. And this section that we are in for the month of November is called A Common Life. And it just focuses, aside from Revelation, on some really simple, practical things that can connect us to God. So this past Monday, there was a reading in the text, and it really jumped out at me. And everything that I'm going to talk about today kind of stemmed from this passage. And it's from John Scotus Erigena. He's a 9th century Irish monk, and he wrote this. Christ wears two shoes in the world, scripture and nature. Both are necessary to understand the Lord. And at no stage can creation be seen as a separation of things from God. I never heard this quote before, but I was really intrigued by this. Like, Christ wears two shoes. Both scripture and nature are necessary to understand the Lord. I think that's really true for me especially. Like, I'm a visual, like, kinesthetic learner. I need to see it, and I need to get my hands on it. Anybody else like that? You're like, I don't need to read the instructions. Just, like, let me try it. I'll figure it out. Right? I learn a lot by doing. I am not an auditory learner, okay? If I hear it, it is out the other ear. My husband is the opposite. My husband is an incredible auditory learner. He can hear one thing 10 years ago and remember it. He remembers everything he ever hears. If I met you this morning, I already forgot your name. So I am awful at remembering things if I only hear it. But if I experience something, if I see it with my own two eyes, if I touch it with my hands, I'm so much more likely to remember it. And so for me, nature, these things that I experience, that I see, that I feel, becomes this context through which scripture comes fully alive to me. So I read a passage like 1 Corinthians 5:17. You might have heard it before. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Right? And I can hear this scripture, and I can understand what it's saying. I mean, I was an English teacher. Like, I get it. Like, I understand what it is saying. When we live and when we abide in Christ, like, the old passes away and the new things us become. We become new. But, like, what does that look like in our daily lives? What does that look like in the context of me just living my life, of you living your life every single day? So to better understand how I think God wants us to understand this passage of scripture, it makes sense that we would look back at nature. So today I want to talk about crabs. These lovely little tasty tiny dinosaurs. An amazing fact about like crabs and crustaceans that you might not know if you're not like a 7-year-old boy who knows everything about dinosaurs and like all things science. Like, what is that? I don't understand it. But crabs cannot grow in a linear fashion like most animals or humans, right? Because they have this very hard, hard outer shell, this exoskeleton. It doesn't allow them to just grow like we grow, to just get bigger. So in order for a crab to grow, they have to go through this intense process called molting. And just like how we outgrow our clothes every Thanksgiving and holiday season or anytime I just like look at a California burrito, I'm like, oh, my pants feel tighter. Crabs go through the same process. They outgrow their shells. There gets a point in a crab's life where it starts to feel this pressure, this feeling that like, this is like, what I'm living in is too small for me. Like, I don't really feel like I fit in this mold, this literal mold that I have been living in. And I think this crab molting process is so fascinating and can teach us so much about how to survive seasons of growth. And like I said earlier, I think we're all in seasons of growth. It's just gonna look really different. But how do you know if you're in a season of growth? You might feel really uncomfortable. You might feel lost. You might feel like, I don't even know what I'm doing. You might be thinking like, oh, these things that used to be fun don't feel fun anymore. Or this like passion I used to have for my job, not super passionate about anymore. Or I used to have like a little crab family with all these little crablets, but now they've all moved out and I don't know what to do with my life because there's no crabs in the nest. I don't think crabs have nests, but you get the idea of what I'm saying, right? Like, we all have these seasons where we just feel pressure, because we know that we're in a season of growth. I am in a huge season of growth in my life. I feel it in so many ways, spaces. I am being stretched. I am being challenged. I am being pressured in places that I have never been before. And so I think for all of us, understanding the importance not only of growth, but like, how do we survive the growing pains? I think it's such an important part of the human experience. Because guess what? As soon as you get through this growth, guess what's going to happen? Another one. Right? It's this consistent process that's going to happen throughout our entire lives. So I want to take a look today at nature and at scripture and think about what we can learn from these crabs. First thing I think it is important for us to know is that growth requires separation. Growth requires separation. So the first step of a crab molting, before it even begins the process, what happens is that the crab reabsorbs a lot of the calcium carbonate, which is like the minerals from the old exoskeleton. It basically takes all of the good nutrients from the old thing and takes them back into itself. That's a good metaphor. I'm not going to expand on it, but you just think about that. Like, you're letting go of the old, take the good things, reabsorb them back into you. And then what it does is it begins to secrete these enzymes. If you've ever heard me talk, or maybe you've read about the chrysalis process with the butterflies, secretes this like goo that basically decomposes the caterpillar's body. Sorry if that was a shocker to the small children over here. But it secretes these enzymes that slowly begin to separate the crab from its shell. Now, I'm not a crab, but I think that would be painful. Imagine just like your skin separating. Oh my gosh, are you sure you children want to be in here? This is really horrifying. Imagine your skin just separating from your body. That's what God does for us. Okay, this is great. We're on a good path today. But it begins to secrete these enzymes that separate the skin from the shell. And then once the separation happens, the epidermis secretes a new soft paper-like shell beneath the old one. So the first part of this process is to separate from the old shell so that you can make way for the new shell. But what I found most interesting about this process is it's very interesting to me that the paper-like new shell develops before the old one is gone. However, the new shell cannot like grow and harden until the old one is gone. You ever felt like you're in that moment of limbo, like you're straddling two things? You're like, okay, the old and the new, and you just have that hard time just like letting go of that last step to go into that thing. So fascinating that the old separates and the new comes in, and there's this moment where they're together, right next to each other. 1 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. See, there is a part of growth that requires us to separate from the old. And I'll just talk about my life, and then if you feel convicted, that's on you. But in my life, usually when I get stuck in growth, when I stop growing, when I'm stuck in like destructive cycles or habits, it's because I'm unwilling to let go of that old thing. Just me, maybe not you, just me. But I get it, like it is not an easy process. I don't care what the old thing is. Doesn't matter, it could be the worst toxic relationship of your life. It is not, I love him, it's not an easy process to let go of the old thing. It could be the worst job you've ever had with a boss you hate, but you're like, the devil I know is better than the devil I don't, right? Benefits, really hard to come by. Cost of living in California, super tough, right? Like, it doesn't matter what the thing is. It's so hard sometimes to let go of the old. But it doesn't matter how hard it is. What scripture tells us and what nature tells us is it is a necessary step towards growth. Now, before we continue, I want to be very clear, especially since we have guests today, that I'm not trying to teach you just about crabs. I am not a 7-year-old. I am not a scientific expert. I just so happens that I was scrolling through Instagram this past week, and I stumbled on like crab videos. I don't know. Sometimes my algorithm does weird things. And suddenly my feed was filled with like these crab videos, and I saw this crab in the molting process. And I don't know what it was, but I was like, that's me. Like that's what I feel like right now. And I just watched all these videos about crabs. But I think it's like the monk John says, like both scripture and nature are necessary to understand God. And I have been in the season where I'm reading all these scriptures and I'm hearing all these truths, but something about the crabs like clicked in my head. And I was like, that's what God wants for my life. So I want to look today at the scripture and then at the nature. And if we had all day, oh my gosh, I would love to sit here for hours and just unpack every single metaphor. It would make me so happy to just pontificate on all of the truths that we could pull from this, but I have to go on a road trip and a vacation. So as every minute I speak is one less minute on vacation. So we're gonna get out of here right on time. But I want you to hear for yourself. I want you to think for yourself. I want you to listen for yourself. I could get up here and tell you, okay, go do this thing, and maybe that'll work for you. But I'm going to venture a guess that I would tell you to go here, and most of the time God's going to call you to like here. So I don't want to like lower your standards and expectations for your life by telling you what I'm going to do with my life. God might have higher expectations for you. So you need to sit and listen and just think for yourself as we talk about these last few things about the crabs. Sound good? Okay. Second thing we're going to learn from crabs. Growth requires patience. Once the crab separates from its shell, its old shell, and it develops its new paper soft shell, it doesn't immediately leave its old exoskeleton. So the crab gradually retracts all of its body parts from the outer shell, but like millimeters at a time. I don't know, is millimeters the smallest? Whatever the smallest one is. Feet at a time, no, little, small movements, and slowly retracts from the old shell. This is a process that can take weeks. Weeks. I don't know about you, but when it comes to my personal growth, I am not a weeks kind of girl. I am not a patient person. I'm the person that like eats one salad and goes on one walk, and I'm like, why have I not lost 20 pounds? Why have I not met my fitness goals? I have been doing this for forever, right? Like, I like instant results. I want to do it, and then I want to see the fruit of it. So the idea that like you get rid of this old thing and the new thing comes, but then this old thing is still lingering, still there while you are just millimeter by millimeter trying to get out of the place that you were in. See, both nature and scripture echo this truth that patience is a virtue that is necessary for our growth. Hebrews 10:36. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. I love how vague it is. Like, whatever that is, do the thing. But you need patient endurance. Then you will receive all that he has promised. See, even though we know that patience leads to all that God has promised for us, like, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But it is a necessary part of the growth process. So we know that growth requires the separation, and growth requires patience. But the third thing we can learn from the crabs is that growth can be extremely painful. A day before the molting process starts, the crab starts to absorb seawater and begins to swell up like a balloon. Has anybody ever had like an allergic reaction? You know, like everything swells up, your eyes close, you can't see. You know the pressure on your skin? Even when I get a bug bite, I'm like, ah! Like the pressure when your skin swells up. Have you ever been on hormones or steroids or injections? Painful, right? You feel like your skin is gonna break apart. So these crabs are in the ocean and they're absorbing seawater. Like that is not a good place to be if you start absorbing water, not in the ocean. So they're in the ocean and they start absorbing the seawater and they start swelling up like a balloon. Now what we've talked about is that exoskeleton is hard. That exoskeleton is not like our skin that will move and expand with our California burritos, right? The exoskeleton is firm and in place. So think about the pressure that that crab is feeling as it is suddenly swelling up too big for its own body. And so what happens is it swells up like a balloon, and it helps, though. Even though it's like a painful process, it's necessary because what happens is there's this very special seam around the crab's kind of like head that pops off. Oh my God, children here, sorry. That pops off when the crab swells up. But it was like so painful. I've never talked to a crab about the process, but I just imagine having like your whole like top pop off would be very, very painful. And the carapace then just like opens like a lid, right? And I think there's two important things that we learn from this part of the process. Number one, growth is inevitable. You can fight it, but at some point we become, for lack of a better phrase, like bloated with potential. Right? Like we are forced to expand who we are. You can fight it all you want, but God's calling you to be somebody new. And there's nothing that you can do about it. Have you ever been there in a season where you just know, like, it is time to grow up, but I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. Whatever happened to Toys R Us? That's another sermon for another time. But you just know, you're like, oh, it's time to grow up. It's time to actually go to therapy. I can't just keep saying I should go to therapy. Like, I actually got to go to therapy now. Like, it's time to change. I've had those moments where I just feel the pressure. I'm like, yes, like, this is not, like, I got to become a new person because I can't keep doing what I was doing before. And what I love about crabs is they don't necessarily, like, decide it's time to grow. Their body just swells up and blows apart. And then they're like, well, I guess we're doing this. Right? Because when their new self begins to produce and develop, there's nothing that they can do to contain that growth. So if you feel that type of pressure, maybe you feel, oh man, you're like, my head is going to explode at any minute. Maybe nothing just seems right anymore. Everything just feels a little too tight, a little too close. Like maybe that's a sign that it's time to step into a new season of growth. The second part of this painful process that I think is important for us to remember is that we were created and we were designed for growth and change. Just look at the crabs. They have a special seam in their exoskeleton that is meant to break and fall apart to make way for the new growth. Now, why should this be encouraging to us? Yes, growth can be painful, like, but God has given us and equipped us with every tool that we need to accomplish the growth that he is calling us to reach our full potential, to take those next steps. Philippians 1:6 says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I love this scripture because it says he began a good work in you, and no matter how difficult or how challenging it might be, he is going to finish that good work in you. There's nothing you can do. You were created for this. You were designed for this. Another aspect of nature when it comes to crab growth that just sounds so incredibly painful is this. After the crab has swelled up like a balloon and cracked its outer shell in half, the crab extracts itself from its old shell by pushing and compressing all of its appendages repeatedly, time after time. I don't have a video because of copyright, but imagine this is a crab and it's just like, and it just, you probably can't even see what I'm doing with my hands. Imagine being a giant crab and you're trying to back out of this exoskeleton so carefully, and you just keep pushing and squeezing and trying to back yourself out of this exoskeleton. See, nature might make it easier for the crab by cracking its lid open and helping it to absorb the seawater. But I think it's important for us to remember that in order to step into the new shell, this new life that this crab is destined for, like the crab has to put in the work. It's not just going to happen for the crab. And it is painstaking work to become a new creation and a new life. It is millimeter by millimeter. It is pressure. It is pain. It is this deep push and this pull that requires so much determination and resilience. But unlike humans, who we can give up at the first sign of discomfort, the first sign of pain. If a crab does not fully commit to the molting process, if they don't do it fully, if they don't complete that entire cycle once it has begun, on the way out, they can lose an arm. They can lose an eye. As they're backing out, if they stop, like, they can lose an antenna. It can get just snapped off, or any other part of their little body. And even worse, if they stop completely, the crab will just die in the process of becoming a new creature. It will just die. Imagine if those were the stakes every time we set New Year's resolutions. Gym or die. Like, I would probably go to the gym. Who are we kidding? No, I wouldn't. I'd go like 3 times and I'd be like, well, it's been a good life. It's so easy for us to quit anything that challenges us. It's so easy to be like, you know what? I thought I wanted to do that, but like, I don't really like that therapist. I don't really like that gym. I don't really like this new job. Like, I don't really like having to be honest about my feelings. Like, it's so easy for us to just take it back. And one of my favorite passages of scripture that challenges me every time I want to quit is in Galatians 5. It says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Usually it's me. I cut in on myself. It's the enemy. It's the lies, right? It's the enemy that just tells us, like, man, we're good. We don't really need to, like, grow. We don't really need to give that to God. Like, we don't really need to let go of that old thing. It says, who cut in on you? You were running a good race. That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who has called you. We go to Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It would have been so easy for Jesus to tap out. Like, you know what? You guys can figure this out on your own. I have done enough. So easy for him to just be like, you know what, God? Second thought, find another way. Have another son. You should have had a daughter. She would have done it for you. I don't know. I only have sisters, so. It would have been so easy for Jesus to be like, this is too much. This is too hard. But he doesn't. He endured the worst suffering imaginable because he knew that on the other side of the cross that there was life for all humankind. Right? And the writer of Hebrews challenges us to keep the same thing in mind. He says, you are running a race. Let go of everything that hinders. Don't be like that crab that's like carrying all your past exoskeletons with you. Like, I might need this someday. We don't know. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get back in that old house. Like, you got to let it go. He says, let go and run with perseverance. You know what the definition of perseverance is? Persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. I didn't even want to tell you the definition because I was so convicted when I wrote it down. Because I can think of a lot of things that I have quit or abandoned. Yeah, because they were difficult, but mainly because it didn't work out as quickly as I wanted. Perseverance and the delay in achieving success. And I'm not just talking about like the physical things like losing weight or like getting healthy or working out. Like, I'm talking about hard things where you're like, well, I went to therapy once. Why am I not better? Because there's a delay, right, in achieving the success that we want. You're like, my husband and I talked once about our problems. Why aren't they fixed? I did this one thing. I had one conversation, but it's not getting any better. And so tells us, like, despite all of those things, we have to run with perseverance. And I know it is so hard to do that. You know what's easier than doing that hard work? Watching the Great British Baking Show on Netflix. So much easier. And I'm not saying there's not a time for Paul Hollywood and Dame Prue to just distract our little brains with cakes and pastries and all the things, but there is a difference between like entertainment and avoidance. Right? And you know which one you're doing. There's nothing wrong with wanting to relax and rest. There's nothing wrong with being like, my little crab body needs a little crab break, and I'm just gonna take a quick breather, and then we're gonna get back to it. Because transformation is hard. It is super taxing on our minds and on our bodies. It is uncomfortable. But if we avoid it, we're not ever going to get to that life that God has created for us, that abundant life that he has promised for us. The last and final thing we can learn from this crab molting process is that growth requires vulnerability. As a crab is leaving its old shell, it removes all its legs, its eye stalks, its antennae, all its mouth parts, its gills. It leaves behind the old shell, the esophagus, its entire stomach lining, and even the last half inch of its intestine. After a long and difficult process, the crab completely comes out of the old shell. And this is when the crab is at its most vulnerable. See, after molting, the new shell is very, very soft. It takes days before it even starts to harden up, and it won't fully harden until it's been about a month. Did you know there's like no such thing as a soft shell crab? Like, that's not an animal. Has anybody ever eaten a soft shell crab? You know what, you don't have to raise your hand because now you're gonna feel really bad when I tell you this thing, Jesse, but that's fine. We won't judge you in the back there. There's no such thing as a soft shell crab. If you've eaten a soft shell crab, you just ate a crab that was taken in the process of growth. Just trying to like start a new life for itself. And you're like, tasty. Just want you to think about that next time you're at the buffet. Just took that little shell before it could harden. As tasty as that is for us, imagine how tasty that is for all the other animals in the ocean. Right? After a crab molts off its old shell, its new shell can't protect them at all. Imagine, like, you ever have dreams where you're, like, fighting somebody and your arms are, like, jello and you're like, why can't I punch this person? It's a different question for why you're punching people in your dreams. But this is what happens to this poor crab. Its arms, its little pinchers are like jello. And I don't know about you, but like that just doesn't seem fair. This crab does all of this hard and difficult work to grow. It oozes goo from inside. It separates from its old shell. It swells up with salt water. It cracks its head open, and then it painstakingly, millimeter by millimeter, makes the difficult journey to remove its entire body and hopefully not lose an eye or an arm in the process from the old shell, just for a shot at a new life. And if that wasn't hard enough of a journey, once that is complete, now it is completely vulnerable to predators, to the elements, to Jesse and her seafood order. Completely vulnerable. And some crabs will go hide during this time. You ever heard of a hermit crab? Funny name. Hermit crabs hide after molting until their shell hardens. But not a blue crab. That crab that we looked at earlier, they just go on with their life. They just live out in the open, just cross their little jello claws. Jesus, take the wheel. Hope nobody gets me. See, I think that is the greatest challenge for us as we look at scripture and nature and trying to discover more of what God longs for us. When we look at the crab, what I learn, I think that in our times of greatest vulnerability, God longs for us not to retreat, not to hide, not to run away, but to stay and continue to live our lives out fully in the open. I personally feel a deep, deep conviction in my bones that like my life is not just for me. That doesn't mean I just share everything, right? As Brené Brown would say, there's like a huge difference between vulnerability and oversharing. But what it does mean is that Drew, my husband, and I feel a deep conviction that the things in our lives that we experience that are difficult and challenging and make us so vulnerable and tender, these things are not meant for us to experience alone or in isolation. Like when I'm struggling to get out of the shell, like, yeah, it would feel much better to hide under a rock and watch the Great British Baking Show until that struggle was over, until I could pop out and be like, boom, new shell, who dis, right? That would be so much better. Like, still got all my eyeballs, still got all my claws. But how does that help anyone else? I mean, the perfect example I could think of is this journey of IVF that Drew and I are going through. It is so challenging. It is so painful. It is so vulnerable. I would much rather just be like, surprise, we had a baby. Here she is, you know? And then I just get up on stage one day and suddenly, can I do that? Can I give a talk someday? Well, we'll find out. You know, but in so many ways, we knew that this process, as difficult and challenging as it would be, was something that wasn't just for us. It was something that we wanted to share with our community. It was something we wanted to share with our family and our friends, because we just knew that in some ways, maybe big, maybe small, like maybe God could use our story to help somebody else. We don't know who's sitting across from us, and maybe you're not going through IVF, but you've had similar experiences, and it just helps to hear somebody else say, like, me too, man. Like, you are not alone. And I want to be very clear, like, vulnerability is not the same for everyone. Just because Drew and I have decided to like share our lives and our stories in real time does not mean that that's what everybody should do. This is a conviction and a conclusion that we have come to for our life. And you need to pray and think about how God wants to use your life and what he would like to do with you. Because there are hurts, there are pains, there are traumas that like you might not be ready to share with the world, and you probably shouldn't. Maybe you're still working through it. Maybe you're still healing. And I think the most important thing for us to remember in this process of growth and of healing is first and foremost, like the growth that God has called us to. My job is not to help you grow. My job is to stay closely, deeply connected to God, pursue growth for my own life, and hope that somehow that would help you along your own process and your own journey. And this is a process that is going to take time. So as you think about it this morning, like maybe just give it a moment, give it a breath. Allow God to come and do some healing work, to speak deeply to you about what he has for you and how he might want to use your story to draw others closer to him and closer to healing. And the last thing I just want to say as I wrap up with this, if we learn anything from nature, it is that healing takes time. It just does, friends. I wish that we could expedite the process, but it just takes time. The good news for crabs is that if they lose a leg, like in the molting process, the leg just kind of pops off. It has like the special little joint. If they lose a leg before molting, a new little limb bud with all the remaining leg segments, like just a little mini leg, grows out of the joint. So after molting, this crab has a tiny little leg. But it's a full leg, but it's just small. But the crab recognizes that the healing process is not complete. And so what a crab will do is it will continue to molt. It will continue to pursue growth. It will continue to expand outside of itself. And did you know that every single time the crab molts, the leg grows a little bit more? After 3 molts, a lost limb will be completely reborn to its normal size. Nature, so neat. That's not a metaphor for our lives. I don't know what is. Maybe you feel like you've lost something. Just keep growing. You're looking at it and you're like, that is not a leg. It's like, it will be. Just keep growing. Right? Because every single time we step into a process of growth where we are forced to trust God, forced to trust nature, forced to expand outside of ourselves, we begin to heal just a little bit more. If you're in a place of pain and hurt and you feel like nothing is changing, like just keep going. Because that is the promise that God gives to us. Every single time we go through this process of healing and transformation, every single time we believe and we live in the truth that we are new creations in Christ, that the old has gone and the new has come. It literally, physically happens to these crabs. And it can metaphorically and literally happen to us. Scripture says that when we draw near to God, that He draws near to us. And I think, as I spoke about earlier this morning, all the songs we've been singing have just like this theme. And this last one is no exception. When I heard the song that we were doing at the end, I was like, oh, I should have requested that. That would have been really cool. But somehow God just like knew. And we're gonna sing this song. And I don't even need to tell you. I'm not gonna even tell you what it is. I'm not gonna read you the lyrics. You're gonna hear it and you're gonna know. And all you're gonna think about is crabs. And try not to think about crabs. Think about Jesus. But also crabs, because God and nature. I hope that every single time you see a crab, whether you're sitting at a restaurant or at the tide pools, you're like, God, that's neat. Because it all should be pointing us back to the truth of who God is, of the truth of His love for us, of the fact that it is never, ever, ever too late to become a new creation. So if you would stand with me, I'm gonna pray as the worship team comes out, and we're just gonna sing this last song together. And during this last song, if you would like prayer for anything, our prayer team's gonna be at the front by the piano. And maybe you've just been hiding, maybe you've been like that hermit crab, and you're like, I just need somebody to know what I'm going through. We would love to pray for you up at the front. Let's pray together right now. God, I thank You so much that You have given us beautiful examples in nature that help us understand and know You more. God, that we can see these silly little crabs and see Your intention for our lives when it comes to our growth, to our healing. God, may we be so inspired by the fact that You have created us with all of the things that we need for transformation, for life change. But God, we know that that's not an instantaneous process. We know it requires perseverance. We know it requires patience. We know that it's painful at times. But God, I just thank You that You even offer us new life. As we sing this next song, I just ask that You would speak so clearly to everyone in this room. God, just bring to mind those struggles that we've been having. God, that thing that You want them to grow in. I pray that it would just come so quickly to the front of their mind. God, that there would be this conviction, this sense, God, that You were in that space. Even in that space, that hard thing, that You were right there. God, we thank You so much for who You are. That all creation testifies to the goodness and the glory of You, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.